Welcome to Take It From Us with host Kent Johns. Real people, real voices, real lives. Discussing mental health, addiction and disability in the community. Your weekly window to the real world. Welcome to Take It From Us.
Welcome into the program for another week. I hope you've had a good week. I hope you're doing okay. Let us know what's happening in your world, what's happening in our community that we would be interested in. You can drop us a line on Facebook, of course, or best way to do it now is actually to jump on our website where you can find all of our programs, tifuradio.org. That is the best way to do it. A little bit later in the program, we will be having a chat with Musi Hecker, who was one of the youth mobilisers in South Auckland for the Do Good, Feel Good campaign. She's part of the Cause Collective, really interested in what she has to say. We'll also hear from AJ Crawshaw as well. He's a musician that's had a lot of mental health battles over the years, but has an inspiring story. We'll hear from him as well. Speaking of inspiring, I think if you look around New Zealand, one of the more inspiring figures when it comes to mental well-being, as far as the conversation goes, would be Sir John Kerwin. You know, he has real mana, former All Black, has a profile, well-known, and you think about how vulnerable he had to be quite a few years ago now to open up publicly about his battles with depression and suicidality and just poor mental well-being. Much more accepted now to have these conversations, which is great, and I really have respected what he's done. He's been a key mover and shaker when it comes to actually getting men in particular to open up and talk about how they're doing. So a few years ago, he established a company called Mentimia, which has now changed its name to Groove, G-R-O-O-V. And this is what it says on their website. We are a passionate team led by John Kerwin, dedicated to lifting the mental well-being of 100 million people in workplaces all around the globe. So they've got big goals, big aspirations, big ambitions to make it their mark globally. It started out in New Zealand. It's a New Zealand outfit. And I've been doing some work with them in the last little while. And the thing that I wanted to talk about today is Groove's six pillars of well-being. Because I found myself actually jotting down some personal notes about this when I was having a look just the other day. So pillar number one is chill, which is just to be present. That's not multitasking, trying to do two things or three things at once, multi-screening, all of that sort of stuff. It's just actually being present. So what are the things that I do to tick that one off? Well, I read books. I love to just sit there often and just gaze outside from my office window, going for a walk. Feeling the footsteps, gazing out at the scenery as I go, actually just having a nice warm shower and just feeling the water wash over me. That is being present, just being in the moment. And actually what I find also is when I'm, it's not so much a chilling experience, but running around after my son playing football is actually part of that because I'm just totally present. I'm totally immersed in that particular activity. I don't think about anything else when I'm doing that. So those will be a few examples of chill. The second pillar is do, which is actually do something that fills up your bucket. For me, again, it would be reading books. It might be studying at the moment. I'm doing some nutrition papers. Or it actually, for me, is actually doing the lawns. I cannot stand to wash my car. That would not be a great exercise for me because I would resent doing it. But I love doing the lawns. Whereas I know other people who would spend hours cleaning their cars and they don't not like doing their lawns or they're not gardeners or whatever it might be. But for me, doing the lawns is one thing. Connect is number three. I think a dinner at home for me with my family, number one. The four of us sit around the table each night and we talk about our days. We play high-low hero, all the good, the bad and the indifferent. Having coffee with my dad is also an important one for me as far as connection goes. Number four is to move. We know we need to move. It's great for our brain. It gets the endorphins going. It gets the neurotransmitters going in our brain. Moving for me is walking. It's going for swims every now and then. It might be doing a few press-ups as well. Walking number one for me. I don't know where I'd be, actually. I don't know where my mental health would be if it wasn't for the walks that I try and do four or five times a week. Number five of these six pillars is to celebrate. This is something that a lot of us in New Zealand do not do well. It's something that I coach people on religiously, is to talk yourself up. Be a champion of yourself. Who have you got to talk to? Who can you tell, hey, man, I had a great day today. Yeah, I did this or I did that. And it's important that we do that to ourselves as well, that we acknowledge what we do well. So for me, I talk to Laura at home. I also journal. I write gratitude. I think about the things that I'm very happy about, grateful for. That is a form of celebrating. It's just the little things in life, the little things that I'm really grateful for that I know enhance and enrich my life. I write those down every morning. And the sixth and final pillar of mental well-being is to enjoy. Finding things that you like to do. And again, we know how important this is. If there are things in your life that you love to do, that you enjoy doing, and you're not doing them, think if you can come up with why that is. What's getting in the way of you doing the things that you want to be doing? So for me, it's making sure that I'm reading my book before I go to bed. It's doing some breathing exercises. It's listening to podcasts. It's going out for a meal every now and then. It's going for a walk to the beach, just sitting on the beach, watching some comedy on TV, making myself laugh. Those are kind of passive at times, but also active pursuits, looking for enjoyment. So just to go through those six pillars again, chill, do, connect, move, celebrate, enjoy. Just something to think about. It resonates well with me, that particular plan. I hope it does with you as well. If you're doing some of that stuff, we'd love to hear from you. Remember to leave us a note via the website, tifuradio.org. AJ Crawshaw will join the program in a few minutes' time. But first up, we want to talk about the Cause Collective. This is a New Zealand charitable trust. It operates out of South Auckland and has done so for the past few years. It's a Pacific social change agency. They're interested in social problems facing communities most in need to see what's getting in the way of them thriving. We're talking now with Masi Hecker, who was one of the youth mobilisers for a new campaign, which is Do Good, Feel Good, as part of the Cause Collective. We'd love to hear more about this and Masi's story. So, Masi, it's great to have you with us on Take It From Us. How are you doing today?
Kia ora, we are doing good and great.
Great. That's really good to hear. I can hear the smile in your voice. How are the people in your community going?
They're going great, you know, fighting the cold, but we're still moving and pushing as well as serving our community as much as we can.
Mm. How do you best serve your community?
Or how do we best serve our community? It's probably through service. There is a Samoan quote that goes by "Ole ala ile pole ole tautua," which translates into English, the pathway to leadership is through service. And service comes a long way for our young people, as is always drilled into our minds from our upbringing, you know, serving our community, serving our parents, our elders, as well as serving ourselves. So service goes a long way. And it's a safe space just for us to be able to lead and as well as to create and be the change that we want to see in our community.
So what does service mean to you?
Service means creating purpose within our community. Service goes a long way. It can always be little to something big. And it can be shown through leadership, through love, through respect. And it comes a long way to serve our community.
Mm. It's amazing what you learn about yourself too. I think you just mentioned it there just a minute ago, that when you serve others, you do serve yourself because you feel good about yourself, don't you?
Heart out.
Yeah. The young people that you work with, the youth, do they understand that concept, or is it something they just learn as they go?
I feel like it's something that we learn as we go. It's really embedded within, you know, the Pacifica as well as the Māori culture, especially within South Auckland. It's embedded within our blood because, you know, there's a lot of us in our households where we always have to serve our parents. And our parents really teach us that way of living life, to serve our elders as well as, yeah, because the only way we can serve others is to be able to learn it from others. So, yeah.
And you still find plenty of time to look after yourself?
Yes, definitely. It's always a good opportunity to, you know, to learn how to balance, because that's the only way you can only serve others is by serving yourself. So you're always learning on the go.
So what does your typical day look like?
My typical day, I think right now it's probably a majority of it's work, but I do babysit at the nighttime, as well as looking after my younger brother and my family. So always providing for my immediate family as well as myself too.
Great to hear it. And we wanted to talk to you today about, because you're one of the youth mobilizers for Do Good, Feel Good.
Yes.
Which is something that we're really keen to hear more about. So tell us about that.
Awesome. So Do Good, Feel Good, aka DGFG. So our purpose is to create social change within South Auckland, as well as creating change in perspectives of how others view South Auckland. So Do Good, Feel Good is basically young people doing good in the community to make themselves and the community to feel good. So Do Good, Feel Good started in 2015, started by 10 young people from South Auckland who had the hearts as well as the mindsets to create change. But the only way they could create change is to create a space for others to have the ability to lead and see the change that they want to see.
You talked about perspectives. Yes. Are you willing to change? Because how are you going to change people's perspectives? Let's start with the people who live in South Auckland, the people within that environment.
Yep. So with the perspectives within South Auckland, so Do Good, Feel Good is a safe space for our young people to tell their stories, to discuss about their lived experiences, because we all relate to a certain level. So Do Good, Feel Good did give the opportunity for young people to, you know, to discuss, to conversate, to connect, and to find out ways that we can, you know, create change within our own communities to be able to change other perspectives outside of South Auckland.
Hmm. Do you think the perspectives for those of us that live outside of South Auckland need to change?
I feel like we have created change, and it just takes time to create change. But I can definitely say that we have created change in those perspectives.
What have you noticed? What changes have you noticed?
Yep. I've noticed that we've showcased a lot of, you know, the rich talents within South Auckland. It could be from creative arts to sport and movement to amplifying the youth voice to just basic community service. And there is definitely an increase in confidence as well as mental well-being, physical, emotional, spiritual well-being that young people feel safe and that they can feel more comfortable to talk about.
So it sounds like you're helping young people get back in touch with their identity or learn more about self-identity and why it's so important.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what's the feedback that you get? What do people tell you?
Yeah. We get a lot of young people wanting to join the movement, as well as to, you know, just keep maintaining, you know, our flow, our flavour within the community to just keep going with our community activations as well as, just to keep going, to be honest. But with that feedback, a lot of young people want to be part of that movement. So I think that's probably the reason why we're still 8 years going.
And I know there's a big emphasis on learning through doing and encouraging young people to be active, to give.
Yes, definitely. Because young people do have the mindsets, and we are, a lot of us are thinkers, but a lot of us are also doers. So we like to, you know, create the change as well as to be the change, because that's the only way that we can, you know, create change within our spaces.
Are the young people doing it tough in South Auckland?
I feel like not really, just because I think there's some of us that are still moving, but there's probably another half that are still a bit hesitant. Mm. So that's when we come in, try and promote our spaces as much as we can, as well as just to be more involved within the community.
Yeah. Is there a particular project or something that you've achieved that you're really proud of specifically?
Yes. We've done many projects over the years, especially during the lockdown. So within Do Good, Feel Good, we did have a few squads where our young people, yeah, obviously created change. I think one of the biggest ones we've had before the lockdown, we had the Active Squad. So this was a squad of young people creating social change through sport and fitness to encourage young people to be active and live and maintain a healthy lifestyle. So we currently run tag every Wednesday evenings,
cool,
at Langi Park. We get around 30 to 40 young people just connecting, as well as creating positive vibes, and just, yeah, just to keep active. We've also hosted many tag tournaments, where we've had up to 80 to 100 young people from different communities. It's a competitive element, but our main purpose was to see our young people connect as well as, you know, just to be active.
Yeah, playing team sport and yep, being physically active, you're ticking some boxes there for our mental well-being as well as obviously our physical well-being too.
Yes. But I think during the lockdown, we did have a creative squad where we created young spaces which were led by young people to be creative in different forms of arts. So we did host the Creative Lab, which we had the great opportunity to connect with many different creative artists, from dancers, musicians, to clothing designers, DJs, chefs, and many other young people in the creative scene. So these creative artists gave the opportunity for free for our young people to start or maintain their own creativity in many elements during the lockdown. Because, during the lockdown, it was a pretty tough time, so we could only create change, you know, online. But it did get young people to keep moving as well as, you know, maintain that creativity that they have.
Yeah. That's right. And then the lockdown's, brutal, eh?
Yeah.
Trying to stay connected but not being around. I mean, true connection's being around people, being in each other's company. And so we were all trying to stay connected electronically, which is just not the same thing. Do you find that young people understand? I mean, I think a lot of young people believe that because they're on Facebook all the time that they're connected, they've got thousands of friends, thousands of connections, all the rest of it. Do they understand that true connection is actually when we are together as one?
Yes, I feel like they definitely experienced it during the pandemic.
Right.
So it did create change for our movement too, because I think a lot of more young people were able to join our movement online. And once the lockdown ended, all the young people started attending our sessions as well as our movement face to face. So I think it was just a great encouragement as well as just a learning lesson for all of us.
Yeah. So Do Good, Feel Good, DGFG,
yes,
that's one of your movements within the Cause Collective.
Yes.
So how of you are in the Cause Collective?
Ooh, there's heaps right now. We've probably got around 6 to 9 initiatives within the Cause Collective, and a lot of them do involve young people to lead, as well as us being in the community, trying to promote those spaces.
Mm. And do you have funding? Do you have backers to help?
Yes, we do. We have a lot of funding. It's just a time for us just to keep going out there and keep doing the work that we do and just, trying to win generations to come.
It sounds like you really love your work.
Yes, definitely. Always having fun.
Yeah, that's good. Does it feel like a privilege to do what you do?
Yes. It feels more like a blessing.
Right.
Just having the freedom to give young people the opportunity as well as just seeing them grow. Because I can say for myself as well as other youth mobilizers in the space, we did start off as volunteers within Do Good, Feel Good. So we are a product of change from that movement to being able to, you know, work within the Cause Collective and continue the work that we do.
Mm. I think I read somewhere that the ethos is we are the solution.
Yes, definitely.
You believe that strongly?
Yes, always. We can only be the solution through our networks as well as the people that we meet. Just to create more solutions after solution.
Yeah. I read a really great quote the other day, actually, really simple quote. Above all else, be the heroine in your life, not the victim.
Ooh.
And you could change heroine to hero.
Yes.
But it jumped out at me, and I thought, yeah, man, that's a great perspective. Easier said than done, of course, but if we are the solution, we are our own makers and change agents, yes, then that's such a more empowering way to look at things rather than waiting for what else is happening in life to come at us. And often it's very easy to play the victim, isn't it?
Yes, always. That's a very strong quote. Plays very heavy on the heart. But I feel like if you do, you know, have the right mindsets, as well as the, you know, big heart and the right people, then you can always keep pushing through.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're surrounded by big-hearted people and big-hearted young people.
Yes, always.
Which is really great to hear. How do we get hold of you? Tell us about your website.
Yes. So we're still in the process of creating a website, but you can follow us on Instagram at DGFGNZ, as well as on Facebook. Do Good, Feel Good. You'll see all the work that we do, always posting online. And we also, we will be hosting a recruitment night, hopefully this month or next month, just to grow the movement.
Fresh talent.
Yes.
Yeah.
From new blood.
Yeah, I see your Facebook posts have quite the following.
Yes. Yeah, always got to stay consistent.
Yeah, keep at it. Hey, look, keep it going, Mussie. You're doing a great job, you and the team, and it's lovely to talk to you, and keep going.
Thank you so much for having us, but we hope to see you in the space too if you're keen to come.
Thank you so much, Mussie. You take care.
Thank you, you too.
Take It From Us. That one is Don Henley and the Boys of Summer. Well, AJ Crawshaw is a musician whose life has been affected by a lot of mental illness, not just for himself, but with others too, people very close to him. He's spoken before about his battles with depression. Once upon a time, he wrote a song titled Life is for the Living. It's well worth a listen, and it's great to have AJ Crawshaw on our program to talk about his life, his feelings, his story, and those close to him. AJ, thanks for joining us on Take It From Us. How are you today? Welcome into the program.
Yeah, been doing really good, thanks. Last kind of 5 or so years, it's been a really good upward trajectory in terms of like my mental health, but you definitely been in the wars before that. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and what was it that had you in the wars?
So a couple of things, I guess. And it's always interesting to look back post, right? Like you have a bit more insight when you reflect after you've been through a thing. When you're in the thing, it's really hard to figure out what it is. So I've suffered on and off with severe mental health, like specifically depression was the big one for me. That got me to a really, really dark place a number of years ago. I was at the limit, at the threshold, at death's door with it. It's actually hard thinking back on that, eh? Every time, right? So with that at that time, I was mercifully able to, with my family's help, they identified and picked up that I was in a really low space, and I confessed that I'd had thoughts about ending it and that I had a plan for how, you know, so it was a good and timely discussion, and they got me into some therapy and onto some medication, and the medication kept on tracking up and up and up because I was actually quite bad, like it was quite a deep and severe depression. Until eventually I got to a kind of stable but very kind of groggy state, I would say. With the therapy, like that ongoing therapy, over a period of 2 years, I think, I was able to start tapering off. It was a really intense period, and it was just like a day-by-day thing, you know, like I'm going to get through this day, you know, I'm going to get through this moment sometimes, you know. Yeah.
So you had to start small and cling on to the small things.
Oh, it's moment by moment, yeah. Like in the moment, it's just deciding that I'm going to keep on, you know. I think it really does come down to that. I think there can be a lot of misconception about depression or mental health where people are like, oh, if you just try harder, you know, like you'll pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you come right. I mean, you're trying with everything you've got in that moment to hang on. And I think a large part of the battle, at least for me, because it'll be different for everyone, was that I did hang on, you know, like I hung on for long enough so that eventually things started to change, because life isn't static, you know, like things do come and go and your life has these ups and downs, these peaks and these troughs. After a length of time of sticking in there and also having people come around me to help, life did actually change and it did progressively get better. But in the moment, all you can see is that you feel so crap that you just want everything to go. And depression's this horrible illness too, right? Because it robs you of your perspective on that. Like you're not like, oh, if I just hold on, it'll be fine. You're more like at the moment, everything's terrible and it's hopeless, you know? And you, sometimes you don't even know why you're holding on. If that could be a message of hope from me, from someone who's been through it, yeah, it did change. Like it does actually get better. There is like a light at the end of the tunnel, and life isn't static. It's constantly changing and constantly in flux. Like, yeah, things affect us in the moment, but then 5 years later, who knows where you'll be, you know?
So how were you able to think clearly enough with enough clarity to hang in there and hang in the fight when chances are you weren't able to think as clearly as you would ordinarily be because of the mental exhaustion and the sheer toll that had taken on you?
That's a really great question, eh? So I had a couple of anchors, and I think those anchors are really useful in those fights, in those moments. So one was my daughter. Like, I couldn't escape the idea of what kind of damage I might do to her long term. So it's the people that I loved, that I was like, I love them more than my own desire to, you know, to end it. Even if it's suffering and even if it's long-term suffering, I'm going to hold on for as long as I can because I love these people so much that I don't want them to get hurt, right? So that was a big appeal to me. And then other times it would just be like dumb stuff like distraction. Like I'd be like, I'm feeling really awful right now. I'm going to just do something else, you know? Like in those moments, it's like switching your focus and not ruminating, like trying to get out of the rumination. But the anchors for me were definitely my daughter. And the other thing that surprised me, actually, another big anchor. So the two anchors were family. And then the other one was, for me, my faith. Like I found, because I'm a Christian, I found at the bottom of it, it wasn't so much the fear of hell from suicide or something like that. It wasn't this kind of theological issues or whatever that grounded me. It was more like at the bottom of it, I found that I still had faith even when I felt hopeless, which surprised me. And then I was like, well, I guess God's here with me in it. And so it was this deep sense of like that, drawing from that spiritual connection that I can, you know, he's with me in it. He might not fix everything straight away, but at least I've got someone journeying with me. Like at least I've got, you know, God with me here. And same with my family. You could say those two things too, like, you know, about my family as well. At least I've got people journeying with me here. And so that could be a real anchor for me. So I found those two things. And then the distractions or the things that eventually the distractions ended up being good habits. So like it was the kinds of things you distracted yourself with that really mattered. Like I'd go for a run, you know, and that would help because I was just running, you know, like and that was a thing that I could somehow do. Or it might be like, so exercise became a good distraction. I'll pick up my guitar and write a really depressing song. But at least it was like, you know, I'm processing this. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're getting your thoughts out of your head. I mean, I guess for you, picking up a guitar is getting those thoughts and feelings out of your brain. It's probably similar to, say, me when I journal or write things. Just so to get them on paper can make a huge difference because I know when I do that, AJ, I've distanced myself from, they're just thoughts, they're just feelings. I'm not them. So I've distanced them from me by getting them down. Is it like that for you when you're writing your music?
Yeah, and I actually figured out recently, so I do, like I'm a musician by trade, that's what I do, and I run a music school and a bunch of other things around that. But I figured out, I was trying to figure out, am I a musician because I just, you know, like this is what I thought was cool or something I wanted to do, or why do I write music, why do I do it? And recently I figured out, you know what, I will write songs just because this is actually my genuine way of processing things. So I need time just to write music. And if it wasn't writing music, it would probably be journaling or painting or something. But it would be that creative process allows me to get what I call like a niggle in my soul, allows me to kind of expand on that. And then once that niggle, like it's kind of like a bit of sand for an oyster, right, that creates a pearl, like it's like that is something that's just gritting. I need to kind of figure it out, work it through, and then through birthing that, that's when I'll create like a song, and that's where it all kind of comes from. And yeah, it's definitely processing, it's emotional processing. So yeah, very similar to journaling, just done through that creative outlet.
Because we can't trust our feelings, can we? Or our thoughts, really.
Well, sometimes you can't, hey? Yeah. So having a process, maybe it is that slowing it down, right, so that you can evaluate what they are. Like maybe it's that, maybe the creative process actually kind of allows you to kind of tease out really what it is, you know? I think it might be something like that. Yeah.
Did you, when you spoke out and it was great for you to have an intervention of some sorts from your family and friends, and they were able to spot, they knew you well enough to spot some things and to help. Was that a relief to go, wow, I'm not in this alone now? Or did it still take courage to speak up and to open up?
It still took courage. Yeah. Like there's those moments where you go, am I going to be honest? Because part of you is like, you want to keep that hidden. Because from my perspective was like things won't change, you know, at that time. My view then was things won't change, things are only going to get worse and I can't see a way out, right? And so, but I was still like, you know what, even if I'm wrong, like, what if I'm wrong about that? Even, like, maybe there's only a 20% chance I'm wrong about that, right? This is how tricked you get by your own mind, right? But I was like, maybe if there's only a 20, let's just see, you know. Might as well just see if I was wrong, right? And so it was more like that, but the courage was to go, well, I'll give it another crack, I guess. Yeah, I'll give another crack at trying to get out of this hole.
Yeah. And tell us about the coping mechanisms now you use and the tools that you've discovered. You mentioned exercise, but I know that there are other things that you do now that are lifestyle choices that you lean into.
Yeah, actually, I have a daily habits to function well as a human list.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Is this specific? And I try to tick them off every day. Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. So this is something I've given a lot of thought and effort towards. And these things do work for me and help me stay level. Like anyone listening can kind of adapt them for themselves or whatever. But so every morning I get up and I try and find something that I can be grateful for. And I keep a gratitude journal. So I'm like, and it just has to be one thing. This morning it was, because I've been off sick work for a week, I was like, I'm grateful I can get back to being busy and doing things I enjoy, right? Like, it's that simple. Like, just pick on one thing that was a positive. And that kind of sets your brain right. And I find that the habit of kind of like focusing down on that will kind of gravitate my day towards positivity. And then I double down on that, actually. So the first thing is something I'm grateful for. And then the second thing, I kind of go, and again, I write it down. I'll sit and have a pray after reading the Bible or a think. And then I'm like, okay, who's someone I can bless? Or what's something good I can do in the world today? And so the habit of like trying to lean myself outwards, that again gets me out of my own rumination and my own head towards going out. So those two things are, what am I grateful for? What's happened or what's happening that's awesome? And then two, how can I bring joy and good to other people's lives today? And so just leaning out towards something. And those two things set my track really well. And then it'll be drop the kids at school, you know, do all the mundane things or whatever. And then I try and exercise straight after. That's my time. I work at the other end of the day. So I'm like, okay, let's go exercise. Today I went to the gym, worked on some shoulder stuff. Like, it's, or go for a run. I find that running is like EMDR for me. Like, you know, you get the left right thing going, it can help you process stuff, anything physical, and it just creates this low key build up of good dopamine in your head. I find so, like, I get the good feels as a real low key effect. You don't feel it till after 3 weeks or something, but if you do it daily, it stacks, and then eventually, you're like, actually, things are better than they were when I wasn't, you know, wasn't exercising. And then I try and get some point in every day, I try and do some kind of creating or reflecting. And then the other one that I have down here at some point every day is I try and make connection with people I care about. And so, yeah,
That's a pretty impressive list. And I'm totally with you on gratitude. I do exactly what you do. And it only has to be one thing every day. I think people get overwhelmed when they think, I've got to do five, I've got to do 10. Nah, just do one. And all of a sudden, after 7 days, you've got seven things in your journal that you're grateful for, and go back and reread them. That's what I do.
Yeah, reread them. And that's why this is the power of a journal. You can see it stack over time. You're like, oh, cool. And then the other thing I do at the end of the day is I'll go, what did I do that was successful today? So I'll like try and write something down at the end of the day where I'm like, oh, where was something I actually did? Okay, I ticked off going to the gym. Sometimes it's that. Like, sometimes I get up and I'm like, I'm grateful I can have a coffee. Right? Like, it's not like, you know, sometimes you're stretching. But it's all good because it does stack up. Yeah. Like, you know what? It is pretty good that I can have a coffee. And you're like, it is pretty good that I actually followed through on that today. You know, and that builds this narrative around your life of like, because I think it's that ongoing narrative, right? Of like, I'm somebody who has lots of good things in my life. That's what you're reflecting on. And I'm somebody who was successful a lot. That's the kinds of things that you end up building into your own story. And that again, builds courage and confidence and builds like this perspective on yourself, which then you take into the world. And then that feeds its own self, right? Then people start to view you that way. They start to view you as a happy, grateful person. And they start to view you as somebody who's trying to bring good into the world and is successful at things, because that's what you're telling yourself, you know? And that stacks. it starts getting a good stack. If rumination is a bad stack,
yeah,
you know, those kind of habits create a good stack, you know.
Incremental gains, and we know, don't we, that the more we focus on the good things in our lives, we there's no room to focus on the negative stuff. We can't be doing two things at once. So I'm loving this list that you've given us. Do you eat well? Is that something you focus on, good food?
I try and do like I believe in a diet you can maintain. So I eat like 80% good most of the time and then 20%, you know, enjoying foods, right? Like, and I think that kind of balance is something I can do. So I can eat pretty clean Monday to Friday. On the weekends, I can have ice creams with my kids. On Sundays, we have like Sundays, you know. But that way, I'm kind of like, I still have food I enjoy in my life, but most of the time, I'm eating pretty clean. Yeah. So I think that's how I kind of manage that. But yeah, most of the time, it's like, you know, veggies and fruits and cereals and, you know, good things, right? So that's the majority of my diet, and I find that really helps.
Yeah. Take it from us. We're talking with AJ Crawshaw on our program. Can you tell us about please don't give us any specifics here, but I know that you took a call from a friend a little while ago, and that gave you a different perspective too on mental well-being, because you were a person in a position to help.
Yeah, and for anyone listening and thinking my list sounds insurmountable, yeah, it would have been insurmountable for me a couple of years ago, right? Like, but it just built one thing, you into your life, and make that happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did. I got a call from my best friend, actually, and he was going through like a really rough spell. And I actually had a dream the night before. And then he starts telling me about how he's feeling the next day. And like, he's like, oh, it feels like I've been on a precipice. My heart's been on the ledge. I'm like, dude, like, I just had this dream about this. Like, and so it just really lined up. It was one of those kind of magical moments. And it was, but where the connection point was, I think, that was really critical inside of that was that, like, he felt he could reach out to me because he knew I'd been through it. And so that was what enabled the conversation to take place. And he was like, I'm feeling really suicidal, you know. And I'm like, oh, dude, I was around there, you know. I was around there straight away. And we were like, I was talking and we were like, do I need to call somebody else, you know, where are things at? We should let your wife know, you know. Which we did, and it did slowly come right. But the thing was, in having the conversation, it kind of, I think partly when you have the conversation, it defangs the thing. It takes the teeth out of it. Like, in that moment, it gets rid of the bite. And so just him being brave enough to say, and then us being able to have that conversation fairly immediately, it kind of took the teeth out of it for him. And so then we were able to start, over time, talking about his mental well-being and helping him kind of get more on top. And now he's joined me at the gym, and he's, you know, yeah, and he's got some of his own good daily habits and that kind of thing. But, yeah, if you are feeling that way, man, just reach out and talk to somebody. Sometimes that's, like, enough. And then you're having that good encouragement over time. I think there's a resiliency study I read that said something like the biggest determiner of those who kind of, like, manage to show those traits of resiliency over time is the connections that they have in their life. So it's how connected you are to people, and trying to build those connections and lean on those connections can really make a difference when you're in that deep-seated pain. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we know connection's just hugely influential, and people who are socially isolated, their health suffers, and physically, mentally, emotionally, everything starts to fall away if they're emotionally isolated. So you were there for your mate.
Yeah.
What was that like for you to go through that and be able to share some of your own experience to one of your best buddies and get them through?
I think, but I don't want to undersell this, and I don't want to oversell it in the wrong way either. But what I do think is it adds meaning to the suffering you've been through yourself. Like, in that moment, it feels like, oh, thank God I can repurpose some of this. It's not like you're grateful for having gone through it, but it's more along the lines of like, now I've gained some wisdom, and that adds a layer of meaning into my own existence, right? Where I can now share that with others. And that it's so good being able to be in a place where you can do that on the other end. So that's great to have seesawed all the way up there. And I think for him in turn, he's done that for me, you know, at points for me as well. Like when I've had a slump, he's been right there. And that's what I mean by that resiliency in that relationship. You know, like having that, being able to have those open conversations is just magic. And it gives meaning to each other's lives. Yeah.
It was lovely too that you mentioned, I know you've got two kids, but your daughter at the time a few years ago, and I'm a dad of two, I've got younger kids, and man, they can just zap your energy and take everything from you. But my God, what about those moments when you feel like you've got nothing to give and your energy levels are so low, and somehow these little magic people uplift without even try, they wouldn't even know what they're doing. They can lift you up sky high just in the space of 5 seconds. Isn't that amazing?
It's incredible. Like so often you hear parents groan about their kids, right? But the thing that no one ever says out loud, which we all should say out loud, is, man, these little people add meaning to your life. And, man, they add joy. And, yeah, they can be tedious, and, yeah, they can be all those, you know, like, are we there yet? Over and over again, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But the smiles and the, oh, Dad, I love you, or the, like, cuddle they give you, or the, like, them laughing at each other, you know, like, there's just all these magic moments, and you go, oh, wow, like, this is so great to watch another person grow and flourish, and I'm part of that. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, man.
I think, AJ, what it comes down to is the unconditional love that a child shows his parents is unsurpassed. It's unconditional, isn't it? They're so little, they're so young, to not even be aware of realise what they're doing and the impact they're having on other people. All it is love, and they show it in funny ways at times, but we know that it's there. Hey?
Yeah, and they're always reaching out, hey? Yeah,
they know how to reach out, don't they? That is for sure. Well, look, AJ, it's been absolutely lovely to have you on the program, and thanks for being so courageous, I think, and to have done what you've done, and to also share your story, and to open up and talk to us, and to talk to our listeners about, you know, on the days that we are low, we can just hang in there and reach out and do our best to look after ourselves. There is a lot of life to live, and the future can be bright and prosperous for all of us. And that's really the message in your song that you released in 2018 called Life's for the Living.
Yeah.
We will play this very shortly. Can you tell us a little bit about the song and why this is so special for you?
So this was the song I wrote for my friend who, after he contacted me and told me about, you know, how he was feeling off the back end of the dream I had the night before, us having this conversation, and I really thought about it afterwards, and after I had the conversation, and I was like, you know what? Like, what is it that actually did get me through? And I wanted to chuck that in the chorus, and I wanted to write the, you know, the imagery that I saw in the dream down, and some of the feelings that he expressed, and some of the feelings I know. And so the pre-chorus kind of goes, nobody knows it better than one who's seen the abyss, and nobody said it better to me than like this. Because these aren't lessons I came up with, these are things passed on to me too, right? And here's the chorus, the lyrics. So, life's for the living and we're not dead. We've got so much more living to do left yet. Just because you can't see it, don't mean it's not there. Hold on, get help, take care. And if there's like, there's one thing I could, or three things I want to say today that people could take away is, hold on, life's not static, it can change. Get help, reach out, be brave. Be courageous, talk to people about what you're going through, and take care of yourself. Set up some good habits. Set up some things that are going to give you resiliency. Yeah. So hold on, get help, take care. Yeah. I'd love that message to get out everywhere.
Well, the message is in the song. AJ, thank you so much for joining us on our program. Introduce your song for us. We'll play it right now.
All right. This is Life's for the Living by the AJ Crawshaw Band. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Dire Straits, Walk of Life, here on Take It From Us. That is our program for another week. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate everybody for tuning in each week. Of course, tell your friends about it. Tell people in your life that you think might need a lift. You can also, of course, tell us about how you're doing and what stories that you would like us to cover. You can do that via our website, tifuradio.org. Drop us a line on Facebook as well. Thanks very much to Karen Murphy, who's produced the program as always. She does a tremendous job. Our guests today, AJ Crawshaw. Check out his song. You can Google this one as well. You can find it in a few different spots. Life's for the Living. He published that a few years ago. And also to Mussy Hecker for joining us as well from the Do Good, Feel Good campaign. She's one of their youth mobilisers, or the DGFG crew, part of the Cause Collective. And they do have a website, by the way, thecausecollective.org.nz. Check that out and you can go and support them as well. Thank you so much for listening to the program. Thank you for looking after yourselves and each other. Take care this week, and we reconvene next week on Take It From Us.
You've been listening to Take It From Us with host Kent Johns, produced by Karen Murphy, executive producer Andrew Dewhurst, made with the real stories and voices from our community. And for that, we thank you. For more information on anything you've heard on today's show, or for direction on where to seek further advice or assistance, visit our Facebook page, Take It From Us.